So, all those things are quite valid, aren't they? They're good reasons to come to church together. And there's truth in them all. But Peter, in this letter, he also suggests why the church should gather together. Because this letter he's written was sent to small groups of Christians who were gathering together mostly across ancient Turkey. And he's trying to write to them to make them understand what it means to be church. Because they didn't have the Bible, they didn't have lots of kind of theology to look at and to teach them. So they needed to understand why, as a church, was it important for them to gather together. And the first word that he used, I'll use the clicker, in that passage, which I want to point out, is God's elect. He calls them God's elect. What do you think that means? God's elect.
Chosen.
Chosen. That's right. They are God's chosen people. And he tells them that even though they may be confused as to their experience, where they find themselves, in whatever situation they find themselves in, the reality is that they remain God's chosen people. And whatever our journey of faith is, we have lots of examples of different journeys of faith, don't we? And we are all part of God's elect. We are God's chosen people. And we can represent that with those dots that we've seen. 6% gather together, don't they, in this country, as a percentage. We are God's elect. So as God's elect, then we should gather together. And it may only be 6%, but it is significant. It is a significant number. 6% gather together for worship in a Christian church once a month or more. Not many. We wish it was more. We wish it was 99%, don't we? 100%. But 6% is still significant. And when we gather together as worshippers, we remind ourselves that we believe a very particular story about the world. We believe the world is God's world. God created the world. And we believe the world is broken. It's broken because of sin. And we believe that Jesus' death makes new life possible. And we believe that one day, everything, the world will be transformed. So we, this significant few, we have a very distinct story. And we're in a culture that may not believe us. And we are the red dots. And when we gather to strengthen, as we said, and to encourage each other to be who we are, to be God's chosen people. And that's what Peter was saying in that verse, in that word, God's elect. You are God's elect people. We are God's elect people. So we are significant. We may not be many, we may not be millions, but we are significant and important. We are God's elect people. And the other term that Peter uses in that passage, he goes straight on to say, you are exiles, scattered. Exiles. Because they were. They were scattered around the empire, around the empire in Turkey and in other places. But Peter was saying, you are exiles, but the reality is, even though that may be confusing to you, the reality is that you remain God's chosen people. Wherever you are scattered, you are still God's chosen people. And in their case, their exile and their dispersion was actually a part of God's choosing of them. So today, what about us today? We also are exiles. We are scattered. We don't spend all our time like this, do we, with God's elect people? Most of the time, we're out in the world, and we're not amongst God's chosen people. And these are the places that we're called to shine, as in that song, which is based upon Philippians chapter 2, we're called to shine wherever we are. You may be the only person in your work community or your home community, wherever you spend your time, you may be the only person who's a Christian. And it's important, even more important, that you shine in that place. It's really important that we don't grey out and lose our distinctiveness and become the same as the culture around us. We're called to be different, aren't we? God has a plan. It's all part of God's plan to place you and I in our scattered communities, in our scattered contexts. It's not by accident. It's part of God's plan for each one of us. And the term that we're going to be using during this series for that is frontline. We all have our front lines. And of course, it has all sorts of connotations. For some, it might remind you of a battlefield, a frontline battlefield. Others will have come across the term in their workplace, in their classroom, in their hospital ward, in their office. Front lines are everyday places where we live, work, study, or play. And we're likely to connect with people who are not Christian. And our hope and our experience is that it is a term that everyone here can relate to, whether you're a child or whether you've retired, whether you're still working, doesn't matter. We all have a front line. And so Peter writes to the exiles, but Peter, one sent by God, writes to the people of God, reminding us that what we experience is not the sum total of reality. Because Peter writes to elect exiles, chosen exiles. And those two things don't really go together, but they do in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through Peter, God speaks to us that we can endure exile with a living hope in him, because there is more at work than our experience tells us. You see, we have the three-in-one God with us all the time, don't we? And though his work in our lives is experienced sometimes as suffering and hardship, he is still accomplishing his purposes, and they are good. The suffering of those who direct their faith towards Jesus is neither outside the power of God nor outside the will for his people. This means that whatever circumstances we face, whatever situation we find ourselves in, we have to interpret our experience through an understanding that includes a sovereign God. Now, for some, that might appear unsettling. But lest we despair and doubt the goodness of a God who would will his people to suffer as exiles, Peter keeps going to prove the goodness of God, because God the Father indeed chose them, and God the Spirit sanctified them. They are his chosen people. So Peter rejoices with his readers in all that God has done for us. And he reminds them, and he reminds us, that we live out the implications of the gospel in our scattered places, wherever we are. We are elect, and we are also exiles. In the coming weeks, we'll go on to explore the implications of this for us, for you, wherever you are, in whatever situation you find yourself, whatever you do, we will look at the implications of that. And it finishes us by looking at what it means to be a disciple-making community together for the sake of the world. Because we are a community, aren't we? We are the red dots when we gather to strengthen one another as distinct people. And we are the red dots when we scatter to many different places with many different people. And we are the people who can make a difference in this world. So you are those people. You are the scattered elect during the week. You are the people on the front line. So we're going to do an exercise now by exploring what are our front lines, because they're all different. There'll be different front lines for us all. And to help us do that, I've prepared some cards. And what we're going to do, and we'll maybe give these out. There's a card here, and it's just a small card. It says Frontline Sunday. Put your name on it, and then put where your front line is. Just write down your front line. Now, it may be you work at school, or you're in an office, or I guess a few of you will be putting down the olive branch. Others will be putting down various other places. Put down wherever you feel your front line is, where you encounter during the week. You're the scattered church. And then I'm going to ask you to come out, and we're going to pin them on a board. And I'm also going to ask you to, on the maps that we've got here, to put a locator pin where you spend most of your week. If you spend it in Glasgow, then we're going to struggle, because my map's not big enough for that. But you'll get the drift of it. So fill your cards in.